such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey everybody, and welcome. Welcome to Shrove Tuesday. Shrove Tuesday. Lent begins tomorrow. I know it begins, but I forgot that this is a Mardi Gras day.
Mardi Gras.
Until Regina
and
Stephen brought their annual punchki.
Yes,
the punchki. So thanks to Regina and Stephen. They bring us every year punchki, which is a Polish, pastry?
It's a pastry with filling inside.
It's just a jelly donut.
It's more than a jelly donut.
Yeah, but that's the best way to describe it.
It's bigger than a donut.
Yeah.
It's like it looks like a Bismarck, but it's a little bigger than a Bismarck.
What's a Bismarck?
It's filled with Bismarcks are filled with custard. They could be filled with
and
custard.
And it's rich. It's good. I don't normally eat donuts.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was in Rochester 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, I had this
craving for donuts.
And donuts. So, I guess I'm not supposed to say the name of the place, but it's very popular. Starts with a D, as in dog. And
yeah, I know that.
So I decided I had a little bit of breakfast, and mm-hmm. I thought I'm good because I knew there was this donut place.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't sell donuts anymore.
This sells donuts. Yeah.
Well, this place used to be called Donut something.
Well, they do sell donuts, but they expanded their menu.
Which is kind of odd for me, because now it's called another name.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know if we're talking about the same thing.
We are
place.
Talking
Yeah,
about
I didn't
same.
Know that they changed the name. This is news to me, Father,
yeah.
since I don't watch the news or the TV. Well, really.
As being a donut connoisseur like I
see. Is it six letters?
Yes.
We can hang menus.
Yes.
Yeah. It's the place.
Are you serious? I didn't know that.
It used to be called
that place.
Something Donut. But now it's just called something.
It's kind of a pinkish ambiance on the outside.
Yes.
Also, they're not putting the word donuts.
They're not putting the word donut anymore.
It's
now called
something else.
Well, in any case, I went once and I won't go again. So, because I had the craving for the donut.
Right.
So I had breakfast, and then I went and I got coffee and went for the. No, I actually bought the coffee there too because I heard the coffee is very good as well.
Yeah, they do have.
Yeah.
Nice coffee.
Because you know America runs on. And that's that.
The coffee. Yeah, and it's cheaper than some other places. coffee.
So, first of all, they didn't have donuts with nuts on it. I was thinking, I had my mind donuts with nuts, peanuts and all
peanuts.
That.
Peanuts.
Oh, okay.
And they didn't have anything. They said, we don't do that.
Oh,
is that right?
Okay.
Because of the allergies.
Oh, is that right? So
people are allergic to
So I got two donuts, one with covered in chocolate, and the other one was...
Was it glazed or powdered?
Glazed.
Glazed.
But I tell you, I didn't like it. Didn't like it. Now, punchki is
something
very...
Else.
I can taste... I haven't had it. I can taste it
You could
already.
Have, like, the plain punchkis, I mean, on the outside, or powdered or glazed.
Either way, they're the
No,
best.
They were good because they're filled with...
Why don't they... Do they just make those once a year, or is that... I know it's the big thing for the Polish community on Shrove Tuesday.
Shrove the Fat Tuesday
is the punchki. I mean, you can't go into Lent. You can't the day before Lent. You've got to have punchki. But do they sell it all year round?
I don't think so.
I don't.
I think some bakeries I'm thinking of two now. That's the whole thing. Because when it comes to today, it's like nonstop. People are just
getting the
buying.
Yeah.
I think I places know. Like the
Maybe
other places.
Maybe they might not because the,
I don't think
the
so.
Polish delis or bakeries, they have so many delicious pastries.
As it is.
Like the kolachkis.
But ponchki is
I
one of the
know.
Best. I just, right. I, yeah. Ponchki is.
You like the ponchki?
I can taste
I like
it.
The
I can taste it already. I haven't, and I don't think
I'm
about it.
I'm trying not
this.
To taste it, and you're all making
yeah,
them.
Yeah, I like the, you know, the ponchkis are good. I like the kolachkis because they're smaller.
Yeah.
And you could have different.
Bite size.
The bite size, mm-hmm. so you could have different flavors.
Mm-hmm.
Ponchki, unless you cut it up and then share it with
so
others.
So if Regina and Steven are listening, they're going to feel bad that you're saying that.
No, you know? No. I said I love ponchkis. It's just...
I love them.
I can eat the whole thing.
Yeah, I guess you can't eat ponchkis every day because...
No,
I mean,
you can't.
You know,
no,
because
so they're big.
They're
but
big.
They're already...
It's actually, like a little cake.
I'll make a confession. I already had one.
Oh,
Christina,
on.
You were
I
supposed
had
to wait.
Wait for what?
Because I
not
don't know.
For tomorrow.
Not for tomorrow.
No, not for
it has
tomorrow,
to be eaten
for
today.
Later.
Well, there better be other ones. There better be some left. That's all I got
to
say.
She told me to take two or three home, and I just... No, I couldn't even have... I did
they're
one.
Up there.
So what's in the middle? Is there anything in the middle?
There's filling in the middle. Yeah. The one I had, I think,
are they
was...
Are different or the same?
No, they're different. One was the... I'm taking that one. That's mine.
I'm taking
the
that
apricot.
One.
Regina, ooh. I'm taking the apricot. No, the other one was... the one I had was prune.
That's the best.
So are they... do you know what they are? Can you? Are they all different?
Because she bit.
Well, one of... The one I had was prune.
That's the one I wanted.
There's yeah. more. There's more prune.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
How could you sure. tell? Because they were there.
It's fiber. See, it's fiber. So
I need my fiber.
You need that prune.
Well, today you can justify anything. It's
yeah.
maybe
good for you.
Then.
It's fiber.
Shrove Tuesday. So tomorrow everybody begins the season of Lent, 40-day penitential season. It's actually 46 days. Did you know that?
46?
46, I think. If
you
did really
count the Sundays and Saturdays.
No. Well, you know, by the way,
that's
a good point. You know, because people say that we can break the fast
on
Sunday. That is not true. You don't do that.
I don't break the fast.
Sunday's not a free day.
Because it's the whole of Lent, no?
It's the whole of Lent. I was listening to a commentary talk show, or it was a podcast. These two guys, you know, Marshall and Tim.
Ah.
I'm hooked on these guys.
So
now,
am
you
I.
Know? Really good.
You got me hooked, Father.
Yeah, and they said they spent a whole thing on they're asking people to fast for.
Right. See, I'm behind on that. I get
for the Pope, for Pope Francis. This is very interesting, but they were, and it's true. You know how we wimp out. You know, we were just.
It's hard
with the Second Vatican. Well, that's the problem. Is you know it's supposed to be hard.
Exactly.
That's the whole point, right?
But that's the whole point, but. But that with the Second Vatican Council, and I was just, in fact, I was talking to Regina and Stephen before you got in, came in, Christine, because she had a chore to do, sent her on an errand.
On a mission.
On a mission. And so we were talking about, and I agree 100%. We got to go back to some of the old ways.
They should have left it.
They should have left it.
I just got to say that.
The church, and Marshall and Tim.
That's why I like listening
TNT,
to them.
TNT, yeah. they speak about this, but yeah. And it's and I say that's why I like listening to them, because I think the way they think, you know, in many ways, or they think as I think, you know,
yeah.
One, either way, right? But the church, for whatever reason, kind of wimped out after the Second Vatican Council made everything easy, and we're paying for it today, you know.
Yeah.
So you had this crazy notion that. And I remember this, you know, going back to the 1970s, and this is after the council. The council ended in 1965, but that certainly they did away with the all year, because it was the law in the church that every Friday was a day of penance, and so it's still in the book. Still in the books,
but people don't.
But it wasn't. But we weren't bound by law. Whereas before we were bound by law.
Sure.
These are these disciplinary laws, and what it does is it helps to solidify our collective identity as Catholics.
Yes.
And this was always a beautiful thing. I remember as growing up, and they mentioned this, and it drew me back to those days too, when every Friday, we never had meat. And even Catholics that didn't go to Mass on Sunday, they knew that as a Catholic, they didn't eat meat
on
Fridays.
The whole year, right?
The whole year. So every Friday.
And there's
every
people
Friday.
That still observe that practice.
Right.
Yeah. Well, the people that I know are the older generations. I don't know if there might be young people.
A lot of the Mexicans,
yes,
a lot of the people from Latin American countries,
the Polish people,
yeah. Mm-hmm. still very much, because what happened, I think, in the West, in the United States, certainly in Europe, but really in the United States, was that while the church said we maintain the discipline of Friday, because it's in honor of the suffering, death, and of Jesus. And so that is by tradition. That's Friday is a penitential day. Mm-hmm. So the church says we maintain that, but we're not going to hold people bound to the law, the disciplinary law that you have to that you don't eat meat. And in fact, what they said is everybody kind of decide what you want to do, but try to keep it keep it as a penitential day. But once they did away with the law, then
People
just didn't. You know.
They didn't.
But see, the thing was, and they mentioned this in their podcast, and I remember because I went to public schools. But see, everybody knew that the Catholics didn't eat meat on Friday, and so in the public school system, they had fish because in those days, you know, when you think about it, in those days, you really had a meal prepared for you.
Right.
This is,
yes.
I'm going back to the 1960s and 1970s when I was in, it was cooked. It was actually cooked
right there. No.
Just like a cafeteria. It wasn't fast food or it wasn't
frozen.
Brought in. It was actually prepared. Homemade.
Homemade.
It was
yeah.
prepared right there in the school.
Yes.
And so you had, I remember, to this day, in Florida at least, I remember the menu. And it wasn't, you really got to pick and choose. You basically had what was
there.
What
they gave you.
But it was macaroni and cheese, fish sticks, and collard greens. Mm-hmm. That was the meal. And I remember on the table there was the hot sauce. It was the yellow...
Mustard? Mustard.
What do they call it? Mustard sauce?
Mustard sauce?
Mustard, but it was the actual...
Like, The
peppers in a liquid. You know, you sprinkle it on.
Okay.
But that, and you sprinkle that over the collard greens. But that was always the Friday menu was fish sticks,
macaroni
and cheese, and collard greens, and then milk.
And milk.
You had either chocolate or white milk.
Remember when we could drink milk? Now it's not the same. Is everybody always says milk is not good for you?
It depends on who you talk to,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because some people, well, anyway.
But the point was, and they were talking about this, that even, what was it, not McDonald's, one of the...
Fast food chains?
The reason why they provided the fish sandwich?
Fish sandwich.
Was to accommodate the
I think Wendy's does that now.
Wendy's does that. And McDonald's.
All the time, or just on Fridays?
All the time. McDonald's has it all the time.
And I notice Arby's is doing it too. Because Arby's sells, you know, deli meats, and it's never like a vegetarian.
But there was one chain that, it might have been McDonald's, I'm not sure, but they started on Fridays, they would have, and I think they said it goes all the way back to the 1950s.
Okay.
But they would have, especially on Friday, they would provide
the fish sandwich.
Fish sandwich, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I think now most of them do that now to get everybody in who's not eating meat on Fridays. So I notice a lot of those fast foods now do that.
But see, I think the thing is we've got to re...
I think that it's a beautiful custom.
Yeah, and
just to
go ahead,
remember, you know.
And not just abstaining from meat, but actually fasting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, they mentioned this, and we talked about this on the radio as well, in previous years, somebody had asked me yesterday. I brought a group of young people down here. They're from all over the country, and they're part of this focus. Well, not part of them, part of the focus, but there's young people on their spring break. Spring break in Chicago. Can you imagine? This is their spring break in Chicago, but they're working with the Missionaries of Charity.
Okay,
and so they wanted to come and visit the parish, and I wanted to share with me a little bit about this what's called focus. I don't even know what the letters stand for, but it's, or maybe it's just, that's what it is, focus, but it's focusing on Christ and being renewed in the faith, and they're very Marian and very Eucharistic-centered, so they're, you know, 100% Catholic. And so I brought him down into the here into the studio, and it occurred to me that we've been on almost 10 years.
Wow, that's
true. Because we started in 2010, right?
Yes.
2009 or 2010? 2010.
I think it was
2010. I'm certain it was, I think it was 2010. Because I came back from sabbatical in 2009. So it was 2010, because it was that following.
Yeah, when you guys were in Fatima.
I was in Fatima when you.
So it's been almost 10 years.
Yes.
Wow.
Almost 10 years. So we've probably, I know we've spoken about this before, but see in the, TNT, Taylor and
Tim.
They kind of refresh my memory, but the fact is that the church, so every, you know, people talk about, is it Ramadan?
Ramadan
yeah. For the Muslims.
The Muslim, they have their own penitential season as well. But actually, the, by tradition, the Catholic penitential season was stricter than theirs, if you can imagine.
Wow.
And in the day. And I think, I truly believe that in, well, as I say, I think going to Sunday Mass is fully fulfilling the obligation, but I think it's, if people can make it to Mass more often, I think it's just to try to navigate through this crazy world we live in. I think it's absolutely, talk about keeping focus and keeping yourself grounded. I think it's so necessary. Yeah. But Lent is an opportunity to be regrounded, to put aside the any kind of idolatry or to re-nurture the discipline of the faith, and to be renewed in the spirit. But the in the old days, they so on this day, people had they ate pancakes and what just you had to get rid of all your because you, there was you had to fast from all dairy products.
Right.
No dairy, no meat.
Wow.
Let's see what else was it? No dairy, no meat. Beer you could drink, wine you could drink.
Wow, didn't know that.
Yeah.
I started doing that.
And so the common diet during Lent, this is going back to the medieval time, and maybe it was even stricter before that, but the common diet was bread and salt and vegetables, beer and wine. It's interesting, isn't it?
I can't have bread, so I'll be having everything else, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it depends on the kind of bread. You don't eat any bread?
That's one of the things I'm trying to take out of my diet right now. It's just all bread.
Carbohydrates?
Yeah.
Pastas and rice and all that?
Unfortunately, yes.
The keto diet, is that it?
Something like that.
Yeah. Interesting. But,
see, the problem for me is that I have to watch the carbs.
Mm-hmm.
The beer and the wine, I don't drink neither, so doesn't apply to me.
It's carbs too, isn't it? Right.
Yeah.
So it doesn't apply, but there's other things. Well, there's many other things I could.
It's always a balance.
Stock up on the salt.
The salt.
Put the salt on a on an apple or something. I don't know.
Salt on an apple.
Well, or vegetables.
Yeah.
Vegetables, and I do love think I love my vegetables.
Well, you're not supposed to, you know, during Lent you're not supposed to like them so much.
Exactly.
But I do. Well, I need them because they're fiber.
I need them.
Because I have issues with my digestive.
Oh, that's a whole other story. But.
Yeah.
Anyway,
but there are other things, not just the diet, but there's other things that bad habits that that you want
to. That's what I try to do with this too, with the Lenten season. I'm gonna focus on my bad habits and things like that. I want to focus on things that I like during this time. I'm gonna try to detach from that,
right?
You know, definitely
pray more. Detach.
Go to adoration more.
Well, the purpose of that is, in fact, is to try to eradicate from one's life the bad habits or the kinds of idolatries that, you know, we
like
don't
the
think.
Technology.
I don't know that we think about that a lot, but you know, we're guilty of a lot of idolatry.
No,
I was reflecting on that this morning. You know,
if we do think about it, there are a lot of things. Like, there's people I know that are giving up Facebook.
I think that's great.
That should be.
Which is
hope
great
that lasts forever.
Especially if you're on there all the time. Yeah. You know? And
which
there
is,
are people that do that.
That would be hard, I think, for a lot of people. I'm not on Facebook. So.
See, I can't give up Facebook because I'm never on it.
I'm not either, so. Facebook and even the telephone, the cell phone, I don't carry it with me. So in fact, I was just in my room and I heard a telephone. Telephone.
Yes, yes.
So I'm looking, I said, what did I change the
the ringtone?
The ringtone of my telephone, because it sits in my room.
Right.
I rarely carry it with me anywhere. And you're sad to say, but I can go days without even looking at it.
See,
and
that's what I want to do.
Not too many people have my the telephone number anyway. I just don't give it out. But if Christina calls, you know, because she's, she is actually.
Yeah. See, and if I call you, it's because of it's something important.
Right,
you know,
right.
I never call you.
Right,
because
that's why I never call you. So I heard this ringtone, and I thought, and it was the old, like the telephone and, on the landline, you know, they used to have a real ringing.
Which
when I hear it now, it makes
it's
me go
weird.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's
what
weird.
Is this?
And that's all we used to hear.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But I heard this this ringtone. I thought, where's this coming? I thought, maybe, did I change my ringtone or whatever?
Right.
But the deacon was coming. He was bringing salmon, which is a good Lenten food. Anyway, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. We'll continue to talk about
Lent.
Everybody, you know, and afterwards, go get your punch keys and
have a feast.
Have a feast.
Start the penitential
enjoy the day.
Season.
All right, we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, and Wins and Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
As we approach the great fast, the season of Lent,
Father Anthony will offer the Chaplet of the Divine Mercy inside St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, beginning at 3 p.m. Ash Wednesday, March 6th through Friday, March 8th, and every Monday through Friday throughout Lent. He will pray before the iconic monstrance, Our Lady of the Sign Ark of Mercy.
Please join Father Anthony in this prayer.
It lasts only 15 minutes.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24/7, two blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Visit ststanschurch.org.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Every parent has a dream of giving their children a great education and great faith. St. Stanislaus Kostka School, a nationally acclaimed Catholic leadership school, has made the dream easier for you to achieve. Here, leadership principles and lessons are an integral part of your child's coursework and school culture. Your child will study foreign languages, such as Mandarin, conduct experiments in real science labs, attend Eucharistic adoration, and more. Don't worry about affording a private education. St. Stanislaus Kostka School offers full tuition scholarships for kindergarten through eighth grade. Send your child to St. Stanislaus Kostka School, located just minutes from downtown Chicago. Dreams can come true, but you need to call today, 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So we're beginning the season of Lent. Tomorrow we were talking about how we've wimped out on fasting and how we observe Lent. I just think we need to, just the nature of things, you know, how in order to properly navigate through this, the craziness in the world and the church, you know. So with these two guys, Marshall Taylor and Tim Gordon, TNT, they're calling people to fast. These are young guys with big families. They're calling people to fast for Pope Francis and for the church. And I think it's not a bad idea. I think it's a great idea, you know. Because I'll tell you, there's some, as Jesus, when he had to exercise the demon from that young man, and the apostles, they said, you know, why couldn't we do this? And he says, this takes prayer and fasting.
Yeah.
You know, so there's something to be said for that. And I think that's something we need to
And that's what Jesus did, then, when he went into the desert before he started his ministry.
40 days, 40 nights.
Yeah.
As I was reflecting on that this morning, though, I thought, you know, really, in fact, I said, because I'm preparing the letter for this Sunday. But, in fact, we can just kind of go into that right now, if you don't mind, because it kind of gives just an overview of just some of the thoughts that came to my mind this morning. And then the readings for Ash Wednesday are absolutely, I love these readings. They're beautiful readings. But as we begin the season of Lent, and as we enter, we go to Mass on Sunday, we're going to heed, and I say we need to, we're going to hear, we need to heed the summons of the Lord in the book of Deuteronomy, that these are my thoughts, extrapolating from the message, you know, to offer first fruits, remember what God has done for you. Now, this is the Old Testament, but this is all a preparation for the great gift of our salvation, which is, and the season of Lent will culminate in the celebration of the Paschal mystery, the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday. And so this, it's gratitude on our for our part that we're living in gratitude for the God, for God's graciousness. And so we offer the first fruits, which is what? What is the first? What are the first fruits in reality? It should be our very lives, mm-hmm. right? But what he was speaking about is, as the people were recipients of God's blessings, so the harvest, you know, thanks be to God, the first fruits of the harvest. So we can look at our lives, and I think in a day-to-day, from a day-to-day basis, what has God done for me? What has God, how has God blessed me? But the offering has to be, should be, in reality, the first fruit should be that of our lives, which is, you know, holding nothing back. And this should be the rule of life for practicing Catholics, that what? God first in all things. Absolutely God. And this is, again, Lent is about this. You know, we've got to put God first in all things. We're created by God. We're created for God. We come from God. We go to God. And so it's in this time of the exile, or in the desert walk through life, that we're giving our consent or our assent, the offering, the surrender, the entrustment of our lives to God daily. I mean, so it's a question, you know, really ask yourself, is God really first? Is he really first? Is he really the foundation? You know, there was an interesting reading last week from the book of Sirach. We were listening to the book, and in fact, we're still in the book of Sirach. I think by tomorrow all that changes because we go into the season of Lent. But those readings, those that wisdom, this is all part of the wisdom literature of the Old Testament. But they're beautiful, beautiful readings. But there was that beautiful reading on friendship. And usually when we have a quinceañera, that's what the first mm-hmm. reading, right? Be careful who you choose for your friends. And, you know, there's a whole, you know, those who will be with you in times of trouble, or, you know, in other words, be careful. Be careful and be very almost scrupulous who you choose mm-hmm. To be your friends. So I had asked the students about this at the Mass on Friday, because we didn't come into Radio Friday because I had mm-hmm. my annual meeting with the bishop. And I repeated it again at the Mass in the evening because it was, of course, the same readings. But I asked a question. How many, because Scripture says at the end of your life, if you can count on one hand how many friends you've had, consider yourself really to be blessed. I was sharing that with Nick the other day too, yeah. How many people, and I asked the, you know, we went through the whole, and I don't have it with me, the reading, but how many people have such a friend that will be with you in, who, let's just say this, people who know you and really, really know you, quirks and all, your defects, your rough edges, your idiosyncrasies, your sinfulness, your woundedness, people who know you through and through and remain with you. And, you know, see, the thing is, and this is the thing I brought up, mm-hmm. because there was this, also this article, I don't know if we brought this up on the radio, but millennials, there was an article this past week, and we talked about this last night with the young people who were here, because they brought it up, actually. Mm-hmm. Right now, young people, millennials, are lonelier than old people, because there's a natural loneliness that happens in old age when your spouse dies and your children are gone, and you know you've suffered the stuff of life, and
or you can't be, your health doesn't permit you.
Exactly, you're limited. You know, you're life limited, life changes in a rather radical way, and so there's a natural loneliness to old age. Mm-hmm. But millennials are now lonelier than old people. Old people, I guess I should count myself.
Older people.
Older people.
Let's just say that.
Yeah, because I don't consider myself yet there. Right. But
I think a lot has to do with technology.
Well, sure, yeah, it does.
You know,
yeah.
It does.
So that's you know, you've got everybody's friends, so-called friends on Facebook.
On social media.
But.
Weren't friends.
And I ask the students, and see, they perk up, because for these the kiddies, you know, that this is, I'm talking about really the junior high, friendship is so important.
Right.
And, mm-hmm. you know, how many friends you have, and are you accepted? Are you popular? Are you popular? Mm-hmm. And so through the Facebook and through mm-hmm. social media, that's the great temptation, is that, you know, you create this, it's an illusion. And you can even, you know, make yourself out to be what you think you want to be or what you think people will like about you.
And you're not.
And it's not, but the fact is, and I told the people, you know, and I had to ask them, what do they call it, you know, defriending, you know, you defriend a person, and they all perk up because they know what that's like, they know what it's like, and it's devastating.
No,
they're
devastated, it's terrible.
By it, sure.
Like, the older people, when they do that to you, you really don't care, because it's not, you have Facebook, but those are acquaintances, how we say. Your real friends are the ones that are here, that are in your life.
But even then, how many? Because see, the point is this, and they, I say people perk up because they realize mm-hmm. there's and we got to learn this. I mean, this is something that our society doesn't accept. I've said this before. I mentioned distress or depression. It's part of life.
Yeah.
Loneliness is part of life.
It is.
It's part of life because we're made by God, for God, we're on our way to God, and yes, we need each other. This is I'm going to go, you know, one of these days, maybe later in the week, I want to unpack the Lord of the Rings, because I've been really mm-hmm. fixated on this, and I love it.
You've given us all homework.
Yeah, exactly. But the point is that life is a struggle.
It is.
And there's a natural loneliness. Mm-hmm. And even in the readings tomorrow, when Jesus says, you know, go in, don't make a show of yourself, you know, in your prayer, in your fasting, in your almsgiving. Do it in secret so that only your Father in heaven knows, right? And he'll conclude the reading by saying, when you pray, somewhere there he says, you go into your inner chamber. You know, don't make a spectacle of yourself. Don't make a show of yourself. I mean, we have to come together in public. We have to give public witness in worship and in prayer. But the point is that there's within all of us what we call the inner sanctum, the inner chamber. Jesus mm-hmm. says, "Go to the inner go into your inner room, into the inner chamber. Shut the door. Your Father knows. You don't have to say anything." This is a very uncomfortable place for us. For most people, I would have to say quite honestly, this is my favorite place, because you come to discover this is the dwelling place of God, that inner chamber, that inner sanctum, inner sanctuary. And you go there, it's an empty place, it's a lonely place. See, Jesus, even in his life, he would go out to the, in fact, we're going to see that, he'll go into the desert, he'll go to the wilderness, to the top of a mountain, he goes away from the people. And it says into these lonely places, for what purpose, but to commune with the Father, to nurture his relationship with the Father. Because again, his humanity imposed naturally certain limitations on his divinity. He was fully human, fully divine, but the fact that he took on our human flesh imposed a natural limitation on his divinity. And so he's living with this longing for this return to the Father. Or St. Augustine said, we're not going to rest until we rest in God. But we have to become, we have to accept that reality. And this is, if we can go into that inner chamber, into the inner sanctum, into that lonely place, and accept the fact that, like, even in the best of marriages, in the best of marriages, the wife or the husband, they cannot fill that emptiness. Mm-hmm. It's a natural in That's all of true. Us. And what we do is, because we want somebody or something to fill the emptiness, because we're uncomfortable with that mm-hmm. loneliness. We're just it's supposed to be uncomfortable. But see, the loneliness, when we discover that God is there, then that loneliness turns to solitude. And even then, when God seems absent, we just wait. We wait. In the meantime, we're in the work of life. So the point is that if there's this epidemic of loneliness on the part of young people, it's that they somehow, somewhere, it goes back to what I was saying at the beginning, we've wimped out on the faith. We're going to make it easy. We're going to make it soft. We're going to, again, domesticate Jesus. I say, this is my greatest frustration, is this domestication. And by the way, I like that this is Taylor and Tim. They talk about that as well, yeah. And I absolutely love it. You know, it's because I said, that's exactly, it's true. And that's why I want to go back to this Lord of the Rings, because I know I was so fixated, mesmerized, that I watched over and over and over and over. This is many, many, many years ago. In fact, I couldn't believe. You know when that movie was put out?
When was that?
What do you think?
2000s, early 2000s.
Yeah, I keep thinking it was only 5 years ago.
No. You're thinking about the other one.
No, Hobbit? I'm talking about The Lord of the Rings.
Right.
But the Hobbit, yeah.
The Hobbit.
No, but I'm thinking of
Lord,
the...
Yeah, it's about
Lord, the Lord of the Rings. That's mm-hmm. how fast time goes. Yeah. I keep thinking, well, that was only 5 or 10 years ago, or 10 at most. But no, that's almost 20 years ago.
20 years ago, the
movie first came out. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
But I remember at the time it spoke to
blew
something.
Blew you away because this is what you wanted. You've always wanted.
It just kind of filled the inner sanctum, because it's about reality. Yeah. It's about the struggles. It's about the battle. It's about the mission. Mm-hmm. It's about the longing for the return of the king. Right. Mm-hmm.
And even Frodo, was it Frodo?
Frodo.
Who had that mission,
right?
And how many times he was most of the time he was down in the trenches, the dump, you know, like
the
when you're
dumps.
the harshness of life. But who was on his side? Who was
Sam.
With Sam? So when I see Sam, that to me that's Jesus. He's always with us.
Well, yeah, you could say that, but absolutely, you know. But you're right, but
in the Catholic.
Yeah, no,
when you see it in the perspective in like in their faith.
Yeah, if you take the movie, we're going to go through this eventually because it's so fascinating. But because there are the Christ figures, you know.
Yeah.
But there's the fellowship is the mystical body. That's the church, right? The fellowship of the ring, and what the ring is sin, and so this relates to Lent because that's why I want to bring it up and later, is because we got to get it's getting rid of this ring, because there's a power in that ring. And
my precious.
Right.
I love
well, we
my
see
precious.
What it does, you know, because what it did to Gollum, you know, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's Smeagol. No, Gollum. I'm thinking
it's
of Smeagol.
It's just both.
Smeagol.
Smeagol.
I sit next to that guy.
Do you?
It's a long story.
Yeah.
my precious.
You don't have to. Right. I can imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to have one in our life. You know, we have one or two or three or four.
A There's a few of them.
Yeah. But the thing is, who do you identify? You know, we have to decide who are we going to identify with. And if we can accept the fact that we are Frodo, and that's what I said on Sunday, I clearly identify with Frodo, and we'll talk about this later, but I think everybody, really, because we have a mission, we all have a mission, and we're on the way. You know, they had to leave the comfort zone of the Shire, right, the paradise, and get into the journey. It was a battle to get, really, for what purpose? For salvation. to participate in the work of salvation for the good of the of everybody, right? Right? Mm-hmm. And so how does this? I mean, as far as Lent. This is really Lent, is that we rediscover or we have to be renewed in the mission, mm-hmm. re-identify who we are, who God is, put God in his right place, get rid of the idolatry. And so it goes back to the Facebook and all this kind of stuff, you know, if people can detach from that. But the desert is a lonely place. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be tempted in this. This is the thing, you know. So you go into that inner sanctum, that lonely place. It's great. It's a place of great temptation because the desert. You can feel that loneliness. Mm-hmm. We can feel that emptiness with this or that or whatever. Mm-hmm. With and you can just use your imagination, things, yeah. You know. And we do it every day. Mm-hmm. We do it every day. Now, God gives us healthy and good ways to rest a bit from the battle. When you talk about Frodo, and I always, that's the thing, that when I would see him in the mm-hmm. movie, and I just feel like that's me, you know? He's tired, he's suffering, he's tempted, frustrated. he's always got that look of anguish in his face, yeah. You know, like he just, it's just too much, mm-hmm. and it feels like it so often, yeah. But it doesn't have to be if we put ourselves under the lordship of the seducer, the deceiver, yeah. The liar, who says, you don't have to.
Take the easy way, you know?
And people will, and they're flying high, seemingly flying, they'll fly high until they
break,
until they realize that bottom. This is an illusion.
I know what you guys are saying, but there's only one trilogy for me, and it's Star Wars.
Star Wars. We're not going to go into Star Wars.
Just say it.
All right. So anyway, is a point well made? I mean, mm-hmm. so the point, what's the point? But it's to go into the inner chamber. You're going to hear this tomorrow on Ash Wednesday. Go into the inner chamber and in secret, do your almsgiving in secret, mm-hmm. Fast in secret, even though we're all going to talk about our fasting and all that. But the point is, come away from the noise and the world and the... And all this stuff, and nurture your relationship with God. Because, see, the good news is, the beautiful thing is, that God knows each and every one of us. And as we're going to hear on Sunday as well, the first Sunday of Lent, St. Paul will remind us in his letter to the Romans, the Lord is near to us. He's near to us. He's near to us, and we are to ourselves. And if we call on the name Lord Jesus, we're saved. Of course, that has to... be evident in what we do, who we are, but that there's no need. What was it that St. Paul says that we need only believe with our hearts? And I add this: let's not overthink the mystery of God. He's closer and nearer to us than we are to ourselves. And the Scripture on Sunday will assure us if we believe. We will not be put to shame. Isn't that interesting? If we believe, we will not be put to shame. Of course, a belief, as I say, has to be reflected in charity and mercy, which is the second rule of life. So the first rule of life is what? That God first in all things. The second rule is charity and mercy. Charity and mercy. Because of God's graciousness, you know, a belief. So Lent, the season of Lent will offer us an opportunity to keep things in perspective and to be renewed in Christ for the purpose of what? But to give witness. We'll take a break, and we will be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
As we approach the Great Fast, the season of Lent,
Father Anthony will offer the Chaplet of the Divine Mercy inside St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, beginning at 3 p.m. Ash Wednesday, March 6th through Friday, March 8th, and every Monday through Friday throughout Lent. He will pray before the iconic monstrance, Our Lady of the Sine Arc of Mercy.
Please join Father Anthony in this prayer.
It lasts only 15 minutes.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24/7, two blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Visit ststanschurch.org.
The winds of change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the divine mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So we begin tomorrow the 40-day penitential season of Lent. It's really 46 days.
46 days.
And that's because I guess officially it begins tomorrow, but the 40-day count, I think, begins with Sunday. Mm. And then you go into the Triduum. And so if you take Holy Thursday, Good Friday, so you get the 40, it's actually 46, yeah. You know. But 40 days is, let's say, from Sunday, the first Sunday of Lent to the...
Like with everything, with our faith, it should be longer.
Well, but this is the point I want to make, because it's life.
Right.
It's the whole of our life.
Yes. Exactly.
Really. So as I was reflecting on this morning, Jesus, his 40 days in the desert and the temptations, the 40 days he spent in the desert, his encounter with Satan, are realities not limited to the 40 days, but they're characteristic of his whole life journey, or his journey certainly from the, perhaps it would have been his whole life journey, but certainly the intensification of that begins in the desert and will continue until he goes to Calvary, into the Paschal Mystery, which is the suffering mystery, the Paschal, Passover, suffering, the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus, which is our victory. So as it was for him, it is for all of us as well. So he moved in and out of the desert and the devil with him. And by the way, that's portrayed so beautifully in the movie The Passion of the Christ, Mel Gibson's movie, because the devil's always there, right?
Yeah, he's always lurking following. There.
Yeah, and even in the reading on Sunday, it says when he left the desert, the devil, now different translations, but the one we'll hear on Sunday, it says, when the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time, for a time. And as we know, he's always reemerging. Mm-hmm. So Jesus is always exercising, doing exorcisms. And again, I remind you, who were the first to identify Jesus as the Messiah? As a Christ, it was the devil. Mm-hmm. The devil in, well, we got it right there in the desert, right? Mm-hmm. But
and he always appears like when he knows that you're trying. Let's say, okay, you're gonna give up.
Tell me about it.
I'm gonna give up this. Okay, my bad habits, and that's where the battle starts.
That's where he's.
He's
the
gonna
most.
Start throwing it. You know, he knows our weaknesses, and we're trying to get closer to God, and just. He knows, and that's people get discouraged. Don't, you know, if you mess up, just start all over again. Get back on the track, you know,
So by the way, going back to, and we're going to do it in this movie, but even Frodo, did he succeed? Did he succeed in the mission?
There were times where he was so weak.
The mission was to get rid of that ring, to get rid of the sin, to get rid of the sin. Let's just say the ring represents the sin. Did he succeed?
Yeah, I think he did.
At the end, I don't think he did.
He did not.
No. I remember. See, I have to go back and see the movie.
He didn't succeed, but he But did he fail? No, he didn't really fail either, but he... Or did he? We'll talk about this later.
Yeah. I have to go back.
Did he not get rid of the ring, but still it was...
He took it back.
Yeah.
At the very last minute, he took it back. But then Gollum...
Uh-huh.
My precious.
Was... because the ring kept...
It kept...
Calling Gollum.
Right. Yeah.
Tempting and he had him, to... What? How did he get it? But he had to bite the finger. Because
he bit the finger
off. Frodo... put the ring on his finger.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Once you put the ring on the finger, you become enslaved. You become.
Yeah,
you know,
you're under its.
That's your master.
Yeah.
It's just fascinating. No,
this is cool. Now I'm thinking about it.
But the thing is, what in a sense, and this is again our faith. Mm-hmm. Do we succeed? Because evil works against the good. And see, we have to always, when we talk about even the battle between God and Satan, mm-hmm. good and evil, light and darkness, it's the battle's been won.
Mm-hmm.
The victory is ours. And so the challenge for us, and this is as we go into Lent, is that good prevail.
Yeah.
That we don't allow evil to work against the good that is in us or the good in the world. There's always gonna be evil niching away at the good. And so this is a constant battle.
Yeah.
And he succeeds insofar as through it all, he shows mercy and charity, even toward Gollum. Who was most sensitive? Gollum would be, describe who Gollum is, I guess.
I can't remember.
I'm confused.
Is he the guy that keeps...
Schmeagol.
Schmeagol, okay. He's a keep that he keeps... trying to get at the ring, he keeps wanting. It's almost like desire.
He's a deceptive.
Yeah.
He's
coveting.
He's lusting after.
Exactly.
He's lusting after. Because Frodo has the ring to destroy. Right. He wants the ring
at all costs.
And so he'll befriend Frodo. Mm-hmm. He'll deceive Frodo.
Yep.
And he even treats. He shows himself his wickedness, and yet Frodo keeps forgiving.
Exactly.
He's merciful. He's charitable.
And now
he feels
I'm
sorry
this.
For you know. So that is what basically saves Frodo, is that all the while, mm-hmm. as he's in this struggle, he succeeds because he had been charitable and had been merciful.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, Smeagol, every time he says we, he refers to him as we. Have you noticed that we?
We
we'll talk about
we
that
have
later.
To have that ring we have to
well it's his dualistic
okay
you know his good and his bad
yeah, okay, in a way he's fighting against himself but he's I think more given into the
well,
evil
see, yeah, see yeah. exactly so within all of us there's I've said this before many times but there's this light and darkness woven into our lives
sure.
and we have to choose to lean into the light yeah. not to yeah. lean into the
in
darkness
the dark, yeah.
This is the ongoing battle
yeah mm-hmm.
And so that's why I say, even as Jesus left the desert, the devil went with him. Well, the devil, it says the devil left and wait, you know, for a time. What do you say?
Yeah, for some time.
He departed for him. He departed from him for a time.
For a time.
But as Jesus left the desert, the devil went with him. And St. Paul, you know, he reminds us in the letter to the Ephesians, our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places in the cosmos, you know,
mm-hmm.
that there is evil. And we're not going to be rid of this in a definitive way until we pass from here to there, but we pass from here to there, from where? To heaven, to the beatific vision. But it's in the meantime, and this is what we have to rediscover in Catholicism, because it's so much a part of our faith. But it's these crazy. It's a people who try to water it down and make mm-hmm. it soft and make it easy. What is that for? To give us all a green light to do whatever we want mm-hmm. and don't
exactly.
worry. You know, this is the grave evil of the church today. I think it's an evil that's infiltrated the church mm-hmm. to. And as St. Paul says, be careful. When he left, I was telling the young people yesterday, when he left Ephesus, and he says to the priests, he says, I leave with a clean conscience because I didn't withhold from you the full counsel of God. And I tell you, I warn you that the wolves are going to come and they're going to They're going to distort, and they're going to pervert, and they're going to divide. You know, this is the ongoing battle. The problem is today in the Holy Church is that so many of our prelates and so many of the priests who are supposed to be our spiritual fathers, we're not getting the full counsel of God. We're keeping Jesus in the not the Garden of Gethsemane, but we don't want to keep him in the Garden of Gethsemane, mm-hmm. but right now Gethsemane is part of our reality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Mass is a holy sacrifice. It's a ritualistic sacrifice whereby we receive the bread. By the way, this is the other thing: the Eucharistic gift, the hidden manna. As this is in the movie as well. Mm-hmm. You can't eat any other food alongside this food. It's the body, the blood, the soul, and divinity of Christ. It's potent, it's spiritually potent to give us the strength to fight the good fight, that we do not collapse, and that Jesus reproduces life in us. You know, so we're up against these forces. Now, there will be the temptations. We're just about out of time, so we'll get into those later. Maybe as we unpack even the movie, I hope you don't mind people that, but it's just it's a fascinating mm-hmm. yeah. Because as I said Sunday to our people here, it's a catechesis, it's a certain mythical. When I say myth, I mean it's Catholicism presented in a mythical way to convey the truth of these spiritual battles that are really within us. And so in the movie, it has to be enfleshed so people can relate to it. And that's why young people are naturally drawn to that, because that is their reality. But while it's the reality of the church and the reality of the world, we stupidly think we're going to make it easy for everybody by just, you know, let's negate the fact that we're in a battle because, you know, Jesus has risen from the dead. And hallelujah, hallelujah, we can say that today. We can't say it tomorrow, mm-hmm. tomorrow for 40 yeah. days. And it's true, but we have to go by way of the cross. Or yeah. what was it, that quote? I love that quote from St. Cyril of Jerusalem. I think I mentioned it last week. St. Cyril of Jerusalem, and I use this as an opening to the last chapter in my book. I forget the name of an apocalyptic awakening.
Mm-hmm.
Beware. So St. Cyril of Jerusalem wisely wrote, and this, my friends, is the reality in this world, in this time, always has been, always will be until Jesus comes at the end of time. Yeah. And this is where we've got to convey to our people the full counsel of God. Young people will relate to that.
Yeah.
If we're not giving the full story, we're not going to, everything is irrelevant. But what does he say? He says, the dragon sits by the side of the road watching those who pass. Beware lest he devour you. We go to the Father of souls, but it is necessary to pass by the dragon. That's the story of life. That's the Lord of the Rings, right?
Mm-hmm.
In a nutshell. And it's fascinating, because when we understand it, then we understand the faith. Then we understand why the necessity of the Holy Eucharist, why the necessity of the sacraments of the Church, why the mystical body, why we need each other, why the need for prayer. You know, we'll conclude here because we're out of time. Because this is basically, well, penance, penance, penance.
Mm-hmm.
This is a penitential season. How does that happen? Through prayer, fast, and almsgiving. And it's not just for Lent, because Lent is really the whole of our life journey. All right, everybody, we'll be back. I can't wait to get back, actually. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless things. the shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is